We are here at the Temple Israel, located in Gary's Miller neighborhood, to a nice audience here of people that are interested to hear what the candidates have to say about the issues. We have here at the dais the two candidates in the Democratic Party primary election. We have Jessica Renslow off to my immediate right, and next to her we have Reagan Hatcher this evening. We're going to begin the proceedings with 2 minutes for each candidate to offer some introductory remarks, and then we will get to the questions as being offered by members of the audience, as well as some of the members of the League of Women Voters that have offered up the questions ahead of time. So let's begin this evening with the introductory remarks, and we'll turn it over to Reagan Hatcher.
Thank you, and thank you to the League of Women Voters for having this event tonight. My name is Reagan Hatcher. I am a candidate for State Representative District 3. I'd just like to tell you a little bit about myself. I graduated from Valparaiso University in 2000 with a degree in economics. Went on from there and obtained a law degree as well from Valparaiso. Passed the bar in 2003. And went back and got a Master's of Business Administration, also from Valparaiso. A few years after that, I went to the Kelly School of Business at Indiana University and received a Master's of Finance. During that time, I was a deputy prosecutor in Lake County, prosecuting misdemeanors and some child support issues. Went on from there to the Gary Community School Corporation, where I was in-house counsel for 5 years, and then on to the Calumet Township, where I was their in-house counsel for 3 years. During that time, I worked as an adjunct professor at Indiana University, teaching urban studies and urban issue courses. Currently, I'm the director of the tax clinic at Valparaiso University, where we help low-income taxpayers with issues with the IRS. I'm running for this office because during my time as a council person on the Gary City Council from 2008 to 2012 and 2016 to the present, I've had an opportunity to see firsthand just how many laws that are passed in Indianapolis affect us here in our community. And I'd like to take an opportunity to go down and try to help our area create some laws that are positive for us. Thank you.
All right, to Jessica Renslow.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jessica Renslow. You might know me more as Jessie. I grew up here in Gary, and I spent half my time out in Hammond. I'm a graduate of Gavitt High School. I went to Nobel over here in the Miller neighborhood, and I worked for the city of Hammond for a couple years in college, and then I put myself through Ball State, where I majored in Japanese and TV production. And then I was hired by the Japanese Ministry of Education to teach in rural Hokkaido. I was one of two people chosen by the Consulate General of Japan in 2003 to go and teach in rural Hokkaido and translate. I ended up being the vice prefecture representative for the entire island, which means I was the person that negotiated our contracts, our health insurance, a myriad of different issues for foreign teachers. There were about 200 teachers that I represented. And I also, before actually going to the Consulate General, I did do an internship with the 113th General Assembly. So I worked for the House of Reps down in Indianapolis. After returning from 3 years in Japan, I loaded up my 91 Dodge and drove out to Hollywood without any connections. And then I just answered a bunch of ads, and I ended up working for the studio system. So my clients include Marvel and Disney, which are now the same company. They used to be separate. Along with a lot of video game companies, I've done, you know, legal work, a lot of contract negotiations and representations with the guilds and the unions to make sure everything is compliant on the corporate end. I decided to move back to my hometown in 2015 to be your community builder, which means I do a myriad of stuff, everything from implementing Lake County's first bike share to advocating for you against awful house bills like 1315 at the state level.
Thank you, Jessica. Let's begin our questions that we received from the audience and from our members of the League of Women Voters here this evening here at Temple Israel. Our first question is a question involving education. And the question is, we are losing our public education system. What steps would you take to protect public education funding and support for teachers? Let's begin the responses from Jessica.
Well, I actually think the biggest threat to public education in Indiana are online charter schools. My master's is in education, specifically I'm an educational technologist. So I am the person that creates the online courses. I do other stuff, but that's basically I manage the LMS systems. And the idea that one teacher can manage 124 kids is completely unacceptable. And the fact that our non-brick-and-mortar schools are getting the same funding as places like Wirt Emerson is obscene. Along with that also, we do not require kindergarten in Indiana, and that's really hard because that already puts our kids back a year. And then another thing that needs to happen is probably the voucher system. People don't understand vouchers. They think that public charters have vouchers. That's not how it works. Vouchers are for private schools, and especially private religious institutions. I'm sorry, that public funds just shouldn't go to private institutions that promote religion. It's against many of our codes. That's it.
Thank you, Jessica. Reagan?
Thank you. Actually, in the state legislature this year, during the 2018 session, they passed House Bill 1001 because the schools were not properly funded for this upcoming school year and the next school year. So the first thing I think that we have to do is make sure that all the schools in the state are properly funded. Secondly, here in Gary and, of course, in Muncie, we're having the issue with 1315 right now. And I think that what's happening is because of our current situation, legislation is being pushed through in Indianapolis. It's critical that we show the state and other legislatures that just because we're having issues now, we may not be having issues in another 5 years, and to disenfranchise the voters at this time would be completely the wrong move to make. So there's a few things legislatively we could do. I'd like to see pre-K, mandatory pre-K around the state, and also just educational equality when it comes to funding, curriculum, and teacher requirements in public versus charter schools.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a couple more questions involving economic development and related topics. We'll take one question, the first question here, we'll pose to the candidates. How will you work to prevent development that pushes out existing communities in Gary? Ms. Hatcher, will you start with that?
Sure. Actually, I met a Feller Miller resident the other day, and we talked at length about reactivating buildings. And in Chicago, that was a way that they were able to expand the neighborhood outward. So we have a great start on Lake Street here in Gary. And I think if we could push that over the tracks by reactivating buildings like the old Pizza Hut, hopefully we see some things come to Walgreens and the other small buildings that are along the railway, that we'll be able to begin to activate those areas, begin to make traffic there, and have new businesses move in.
All right, Jessica?
Well, I'm part of a group that actually started a small business incubator where you actually come and form your business plan. A big problem that happened with our qualitative data from our community plan was that we have a lot of folks in town who have great ideas, really want to start businesses, but they don't really have the nuts and bolts to get it done. And there are a lot of classes across the whole region that kind of advocate to this, but folks in our neighborhoods weren't going there because they didn't feel comfortable. They didn't feel like they were represented by the people who were doing those classes. So, for instance, our most common head of household in House District 3 are single mothers. So I happened to find an excellent single mom to run the classes who actually had a background in business development. And from there, we've had three businesses actually this year be able to go to the next stage and launch online. And another one's actually doing a brick and mortar on Lake Street, and they will be opening very soon. So when you have those kind of deliverables, that's the goal, and you want them to be able to stay. So that's why you do things like co-working, which is one of the reasons I was one of the only two people in the whole region to go down to the co-working summit this summer and actually advocate for us. So we need to be aware of these items that are both up here in the region and actually down in Indianapolis and show up to them. Because if we aren't showing up, we're not going to get served.
Thank you very much. Next question we have, again, is about economic development related issues. The question is, there are many building and development projects going on in the region, but there's no local hiring for those most need of work. And how will you oppose the discriminatory hiring practices in Northwest Indiana? Regan?
Thank you. Actually, this has been a big issue on the City Council. And during my initial 4 years and these last 2 years, I've been a very loud advocate for local hiring in our community. We have a great compliance officer who's been working hard to get more people who are representative of our area into the union. We have found that some unions do have discriminatory practices, and we're trying to work with them to make sure that we get more African Americans into those unions. And we're making sure that projects that are done in Gary do have local representation. So those are just a few of the things that I've been able to accomplish while on the City Council.
Thank you. Jessica?
And we've been working a lot from the grassroots level with this issue. This is a major, major problem, not just in Gary. This is an issue in Hobart, Lake Station, New Chicago, the whole district. One thing that is often overlooked is people of all abilities and making sure that everyone has a chance to get a job, making accommodations that are reasonable, making sure we're actually compliant with the ADA, and just simple things like folks don't know we have over 600 people that go to the Blind Social Center in Glen Park. And a lot of those folks want to work. Are there jobs for them? How do we make accommodations? So that's something I've been working on. There needs to be a bridge with our unions, and it does need to start younger, even before high school. I know there's several principals who are interested in maybe having a pipeline put into their schools with that. It's getting those bridge programs there and actually working and finding sponsors who will actually incorporate them with them. And we're getting there. We're like, I just got a $31,000 sponsorship for our Build-A-Bike, which will actually help bridge some of those skill sets. And a lot of those kids are actually in elementary school. So if you have them already, if they are kinesthetic learners already kind of getting advocated towards that, if they want to become engineers, that's awesome. If they want to become electricians, awesome. Let's figure out a way to actually make that happen, though.
Thank you, Jessica. Our next question is from the audience here at the Temple Israel in Gary. And the question is to both of our candidates this evening. Has either individual contacted the current, now retiring, state representative who held the office for 33 years to get the ins and out of state government since one candidate has not held public office and the other has held public office but not state office? And if not, why is the question? Let's start, Jessica, with you, please.
Sure. Well, you know, I interned for the General Assembly, and I worked there for 6 months, so I got a pretty good vibe on how that worked back in 2003. And then for the last 3 years, I have gone down there, and I have seen how it works and talked with different folks and talked with the different legislators that came out and spoke to different groups I was with. And I had really, really good one-on-one conversations with a lot of people. And when I decided to run, it was actually in October. So that was before our current person decided to retire. So I didn't want to be offensive and presumptuous. I wasn't sure if he was going to retire, so I did not contact him. I did reach out to one of the people that I interned for, Representative Linda Lawson, who is the current floor lead. And I did get a lot of advice for different things that were regional from her.
Regan?
The answer is yes. I did have an opportunity on numerous occasions to speak with Representative Charlie Brown, and he's here in the audience today. Just like to recognize him. But he's given me not only advice, but the encouragement to take the chance, and even though there's a supermajority in the House, a supermajority in the Senate, he has the faith that I'll be able to bridge some gaps in Indianapolis. So I've spoken with him at length. Senator Eddie Melton, the past Senator Earlene Rogers, Representative Vernon Smith, and of course, Representative Earl Harris. I took the time to talk to each one of them before deciding to run, because I wanted to make sure that my skill set, my educational background, and the things that I've done over the years would translate to the General Assembly. And I think I've got some really great advice from them, and it made me move forward.
Thank you, Reagan.
Thank you.
You're listening to the candidates forum this evening from the candidates in the Democratic Party primary election ahead for State Representative District 3 seat, Jessica Renslow and Reagan Hatcher. Here we are at the Temple Israel in the Miller neighborhood of Gary. And I'd like to remind the audience here as well that if you have questions, be sure that you get those questions over to the League of Women Voters people, and we'll pass them along to be able to pose them to the candidates this evening. One other question next involves the issue of immigration. It's a two-part question, but I think it's very well stated, straightforward here. Number one of the two parts, what have you done specifically to protect immigrants in our region and oppose the deportations at the Gary Airport? And the second part of the question is, what do you propose to do, if elected, to the very toxic state legislative situation to protect immigrants and oppose deportations? And Reagan Hatcher, let's begin with you, please.
Oh, thank you. Well, on the city council, I had the opportunity to co-sponsor legislation with Councilwoman Rebecca Wyatt for the Welcome City Ordinance. And what that ordinance did was it required the Gary Police Department to make sure that any immigrant brought in on any criminal charge would have that opportunity to know their actual rights before being charged, just as they would be read their Miranda rights at the time of arrest. We wanted to make sure that everybody knew they had some rights, even if they did have immigrant status. So we created this Welcoming City Ordinance. We worked with Ruth Needleman and a couple other people who were part of that charge, and they helped us to prepare the ordinance. We worked with an immigration lawyer from Chicago who does a lot of that kind of work, and we prepared and passed this ordinance. Also, just on my time with Ruth Needleman, we've been out at the airport protesting the deportation from the Gary Airport from the private jet center. We have had many discussions on the council about this jet center. Because they rent the space at the airport, we cannot dictate to them what type of contracts they can accept. So we're working through that, and it's an ongoing struggle.
Jessica Renslow.
Well, you know, I teach English as a second language, so I work with a lot of immigrants and a lot of people going through the immigration process. It's not very easy. I come from a family of immigrants. My stepfather came here from Greece when he was 5. One of my uncles came from Iraq during Desert Storm 1 and had to go through the entire POW process. So the first time I really actually heard about welcoming cities, well, I'll back it up. I have a lot of family in Northwest Hobart. GEO was trying to come there a couple years ago. And so that was the first time I heard about GEO. But I did a little research on them, and at the time I was living in the Southwest and found out their company used to be named something else, which has a terrible rating in the Southwest. So immediately I knew this was bad and it shouldn't come to Gary. So as soon as that started coming towards Brunswick, I definitely was at all the council meetings for that. From that, before that, actually, before even all that hot topic happened, in 2015 when we were drafting our community plan, we actually said, why not be a welcoming city? It was actually in our jobs and economy group, and one of our gentlemen there had lived in Ohio for a long time. And Ohio has had a lot of really, really great results from being a welcoming city. This was before this was a hot topic. One of our sister communities, which is also a Knight Foundation community, is Akron, Ohio. They have a large population of Bhutanese. And with help from their YWCA, they were able to become a whole funnel for Bhutanese residents that then fixed up a whole blighted area, started little restaurants, started grocery stores. So we said, hey, wouldn't that be great if Gary became a welcoming community, a welcoming city? And then, lo and behold, the former president of the Lake County Young Democrats, Alfredo Estrada, was on it and was going from city to city. So I said, gosh, Alfredo, that's great. It's wonderful we have a council that's going to team up with you for that.
Thank you very much. Next question from the audience here is, how do you feel about redistricting, and what can people do to institute reform? Jessica?
Oh, redistricting. Boy, that is definitely really a hot subject in Indiana. I was actually down with the League of Women Voters this year talking about redistricting and the need for it. We right now have what's called donuts, where you just have patches of blue across the state. And then this isn't quite redistricting, but one of the biggest issues happening right now is the state is trying to shrink our precincts, specifically only in Lake County. This is a big problem, especially for Gary, where we have a city that is 4 miles larger than San Francisco, with an estimated 80 to 77,000 people there. Limiting access to voting limits your voice. And so I would fight that bill very hard. Right now it's kind of in limbo, and then I would advocate for redistricting across the state.
Reagan?
Redistricting is a problem because right now we have a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. Every 10 years when they go back and draw these lines, they can gerrymander their district so that they keep those Republican pockets and keep the Democratic pockets at bay. So what I'd like to see is a nonpartisan group be appointed to actually draw the redistricting lines. Right now in Gary, the way, for example, District 3 is drawn, it kind of goes down to catches a bit of Hobart, then it comes up around, and then it goes all the way to the lake and far west. Well, it was only done like that because of the way that those the people in those areas vote. So I like to just see a nonpartisan group be appointed or put together by a non-governmental entity and actually draw the lines for our districts in the state of Indiana.
Thank you, Reagan. Our next question from the audience here during the candidates forum is a question from an audience member asking if the beaches will be reinstated by the city for a trash pickup, if I understand the question correctly. Reagan, we'll turn the question first to you.
Right now, the current situation is going to change where the trash cans are going to come off the beach. It's going to happen because it makes it a lot less cumbersome to actually collect the trash from the garbage cans. One of the things that the city is talking about doing is putting bags, like the doggy bag stands, on the beach so people can have access to bags and be able to put their trash together and take it to the larger trash can. The difficulty is getting the trucks onto the beach to collect the garbage. And so by bringing them off the beach, it'll just make it easier for them to collect, which means they'll collect more often. So I think it's a good idea.
Jessica?
Well, I think any improvement in our garbage situation would be awesome. Thank you to all the members of the Garden Club that are here tonight. I know, like you, I pick a street on the beach to pick up. I've got Lake Street. That one's pretty intense. We get a lot of tourists down there. We love our tourists, but they don't often clean up. I think we really, really, really need to institute a leave no trace policy like they do at the national parks. That's really basic. If we need to write a grant, I know our city's not got a lot of funding. If we need to write a grant to get biodegradable bags to hand folks, let's do it. But we really, really need to have an education system with that, with our parking attendants to really make it clear, because everybody here does a community cleanup every morning if you go down to the lake. It just is what it is. And in other communities, we don't have to do that. In other cities, we don't have to do that. I mean, every single day you see people picking up. So if our city can help us with that, that'd be great. But we also know that sometimes we have to supplement funding, and if we need to go after that, I would definitely research it for someone.
Thank you very much. Next question that we're posing to both candidates here is a transportation-related question from an audience member asking, will the South Shore Line become nonstop or express to Chicago? And let's start with you, Jessica.
I am not sure about that. I don't work for the South Shore. I know that there is a plan to make it quicker, double tracking, and whether that funding goes totally through with the federal level, I don't think that's totally through yet. I don't think it's necessarily a bad idea, but I think what we first need to have is an accessible train station that all residents can use. That's a big problem right now. I don't know why Ogden Dunes is accessible, and Miller's is not, and the Adam Benjamin Metro station barely is. I'm not sure how East Chicago's got fixed up, but Gary's didn't. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Thank you very much. Regan?
Thank you. The double track program, initially the city council funded that program. However, after a while we were waiting for federal funding to come through, the city's economic situation became more dire. And so the council came back and passed a resolution lowering our contribution to the program. However, since that time, it looks like we will not get the funding from the federal level that we thought we were going to get for that project. And so I think either way, I'm not sure if that is going to happen.
Thank you very much. You're listening to a candidates forum here being held at the Temple of Israel in Gary between the two Democratic Party candidates for Indiana State House of Representatives, a District 3 seat that is up in the primary election. Our next question from the audience concerns a question of a social policy, I suppose, in a way. The question, I guess, to both candidates here is, what is your position on the former governor's actions in the LGBTQ issues, and specifically asking about Religious Freedom and Restoration Act, RFRA, as is also known, and also, too, your views concerning that and about the LGBTQ questions in general. Let's start, Reagan, with you, please.
Well, I'm not going to talk about the previous governor's position on it. We know that it was not a positive one. However, in this legislative session, there was a bill introduced for hate crimes based on race, religion, sex, gender, or sexual orientation that did not even get a hearing in Indianapolis. And I think that Indiana is only one of five states in the entire country that does not have a hate crime law. With everything that's going on today in the world, not just the United States, it's clear that hate crimes are real, not just against the LGBT community, but many communities, and that the fact that we don't have a hate crime bill in Indiana is saddening to me. So I hope that if I am lucky enough to be elected, that would be one of my goals, to make sure that legislation is passed in Indianapolis.
Jessica?
I, too, support the hate crime bill. I've spoken out across the region about the former governor's policies. I did in Valpo. Bathroom ordinances. This is just crazy that this is being allowed. As someone who has worked for folks of different religions, I've worked for a lot of Buddhists. So in the Buddhist, in some Buddhist cultures, I used to work for the Land Buddhists. They don't believe in organ transplants. It's not part of their religion. And no one thought to say, hey, if my religion doesn't support this type of healthcare, if I was with a group that didn't believe in organ transplants, that could keep me from using their insurance. So basic things, if we're just, we have a Judeo-Christian state, but we have to think outside of just that and that realm, and no one was bringing those kind of items really up, especially regionally, except for me. And I am a small business owner, and I just didn't understand why my business had religious freedom. It just didn't make any sense. So I would definitely support a hate speech or hate crime bill.
Thank you very much. Our next question here this evening is a question to the both candidates once again, concerning, I guess, your knowledge of course, the district that you would be representing, and what plans do you have for Lake Station and Hobart? And let's once again start, Reagan, if we will, with you, please.
Thank you. Well, I've had an opportunity to speak with both the mayors of Hobart and the mayor of Lake Station. They have been very clear in the issues that they have in their communities, the things that they would like to see done. Mostly, though, what they've asked for is an open line of communication so that when things do come up, they're able to call and make sure that their requests are heard. So I think that with the support of the mayors in the three cities, Gary, Hobart, and Lake Station, we can be successful in making sure that everybody's concerns are met.
Well, I have a lot of love for this district. I grew up all over it. And just doing the canvassing, meeting people door to door has just really amplified that love. I've got a ton of aunts and uncles who live over in Northwest Hobart, some cousins that live in Lake Station, and one of the biggest concerns they have is flooding. That was a big problem this year. And they do have a dam that is over 80 years old, and it's in dire need of repairs. But you have a lot of hook and game environmentalists over there that love their fishing, so that's going to be a big state-level issue. One thing I was able to actually talk in length with Representative Lawson about was the transition whiting has had over the last 20 years. So, you know, I was gone for 15, out working and just adventuring and seeing the world and seeing the potential that we have here. Little places like Lake Station have, Hobart has. So I said, Linda, how the heck did this happen? How were you able to make this work in whiting? And it's a lot of advocacy with a mayor and a state rep working together on an identified goal. One of the really cool things about House District 3 is there are three community plans where we already have the qualitative data that shows what the people want. So one thing they are looking for is ecotourism. So I'm very, very happy to have collaborated with a large group of folks, including the Lake Station Parks Department, on getting them an accessible kayak launch for Deep River, which will hopefully be happening in June. So just piggybacking off of awesome things like that and getting ways to actually infuse the economy. That sounds like what everybody's wanting there. They want safe rivers, they want to be able to fish, and they want to be able to actually have small businesses in Lake Station and Hobart.
Thank you, Jessica. Next question is for both candidates again. And the audience member asked the question, where do you stand on the proposal of the Coney Island development on the lakefront? And Jessica, let's start with you, please.
Sure. Well, as I live on forest within stone's throw of the proposed Coney Island development, first of all, it's I believe it's just in the very, very baby stages, and they have not had any community meetings on it. I will say the people have spoken and would love, it's part of our community plan to have something happen there, something very minimalistic, something around the snack shop. I don't think anyone wants to pave the dunes. They want to save the dunes. So I would be against a Ferris wheel. I would probably chain myself to the Ferris wheel if it was to happen. And I'm sure there are many people in the audience that would join me in that. However, if we were able to have a eco-friendly, minimalistic development happen there where we could actually have people like our birders attracted to stay and spend money in our city. Right now, we're already a tourism hub. We have kite surfers, we've got birders, we got hikers. They're all going there, but they're not spending any money in our city, and that is a problem. That is a problem for the district. So if we can figure out a way to actually infuse our economy, kind of like how Whiting was able to do it, but minimalistically and not hurt our environment, that would be the goal.
Ms. Hatcher?
Yes, the Coney Island development, as I've heard it so far, it is in the very early stages of discussion. I would hope that we would not ruin the dunes by doing something like that. What I'd like to see instead of that is an expansion of the downtown area on Lake Street out into 12 and 20. Instead of having only industrial things out there, I would like to see more businesses come up on 12 and 20.
Thank you very much. Next question from the audience for our candidates this evening is, where do you stand on the most important environmental issues that are facing the region, and what legislative process would you support?
I guess I would think that the most difficult environmental issue that the region is facing right now is in East Chicago with the contamination of the property there. Because it's turned into a federal EPA site, it's not much legislation that we can do about the actual location. However, those people who live there, I think that they're are some things that we're able to do to make sure that their quality of life is better. Number one, as well as here in the city of Gary, I think these companies that come in and pollute our land and our water have to be required in one way or the other to clean it up before they leave. If that means an insurance policy or if that means out of pocket, I think that's something that we have to do. We live in such an industrial area and we have so much industry here that I think that that's something that we should require. That can either be done legislatively through the Gary Common Council here in the city of Gary or legislatively in Indianapolis through the state legislature. But I think if they contaminate the land, they contaminate the water, they should be responsible for that.
Jessica Renslow?
I would agree. We've had two spills in the last year from U.S. Steel. That's a big issue. A lot of House District 3 is actually the water. We have the most of the lake, if you can believe it. I think water is going to be our biggest issue. The idea that the groundwater stopped in East Chicago, I think, is a fallacy that we probably will have to research more if anyone knows how groundwater works. But we also have a lot of opportunities. We're doing a lot of vacant to vibrant programs here. I was just active in one in the 4th District of Gary. They're turning the old bear hosiery factory into a park. Now it can't have a playground, which is unfortunate because of the contamination of the soil. It can only be a place where people can walk or roll and maybe sit on a chair. Now, that's a problem that that's still happening in our 4th District of Gary. Having this legacy issue, when you talk about environmental justice, it's just so massive here in Northwest Indiana. I had an aunt die this last year of lung cancer. And when we went down to Indianapolis, her doctor looked at her chart and said, "Are you from Northwest Indiana?" And we said, "Yes." And he said, "I can always tell a region cancer." That is an issue that we have to deal with. So whether it's got to be on the city level, the state level, or the federal level, I will advocate to not have that happen to another family.
Thank you very much. Next question from, from an audience member is, Northwest Indiana has a reputation as being corrupt. What can be done about elected officials who break the law? Jessica?
Well, they should be pursued to the letter of the law and actively. I think, unfortunately, sometimes people skirt the law because of their connections. I would definitely advocate for that to be stopped and to have folks actually research everyone's backgrounds before endorsing or, you know, siding with them on anything.
Well, as a former prosecutor, just as people from our community here are prosecuted for the smallest of things, a number of times, especially in recent history, we've seen some people go through the system that were politicians that had gone to the limit of those things. So I guess the lesson is to start early. Don't wait until things get out of hand before the prosecutors or the state attorneys step in.
Thank you very much. Pardon me. I have a follow-up question here on the question about the environment. Excuse me. The audience member asked, the Indiana Department of Environmental Management has always been clear that the primary goal is to maintain a friendly environment for business. And the question to both of our candidates this evening, what will each of you do to make real environmental protection as a higher priority in our state with greater funding, other than making sure that Indiana already has, because it already is always at the bottom, rather, of the list of states on the environment? Jessica, if you'll start, please.
Well, obviously there's various ways to push it downstate to try to advocate for the funding as a legislator. But I also think if we have businesses coming into our state, there probably should be a sponsorship fund started from them to actually fund some of those efforts. For instance, one thing that just started in Gary recently, and it's been a real hot subject, is deconstruction sites for or landfills, depending on how you view them. If they're done properly, it might not be a terrible thing, but just allowing them into our communities kind of willy-nilly is not the way to go. House Bill 1318 was an example of that. I would definitely never introduce something like 1318 to our community, and I would definitely pursue funding to require any group coming to try to do recycling in our community to actually have to pay for all items.
Regan Hatcher?
Yes, thank you. Actually, in the state of Indiana right now, there are a number of tax breaks that are being given to these companies to come in. So we're not requiring them to do anything, not even pay the taxes that it costs to clean up these sites when they leave them. So as I spoke about earlier, I think that it's important that these companies have some type of insurance that would allow the state of Indiana to activate it to clean up the sites after they leave, or that they be required to not pollute or clean up after they pollute. One of the big ideas that I, well, first let me say that the Stocking Factory in the 4th District, that park that is going to go there, was the work of the Gary Common Council, and specifically Councilwoman Carolyn Rogers. She did a great job in not only getting the support to get the Stocking Factory torn down, but to get it to a place where it looked nice in the community again. The problem is the same problem with the East Chicago site, is the contamination under the ground. Those locations that have been contaminated so bad that cleanup can't even help, those would be perfect sites to put things like wind turbines, solar panel areas, because those can sustain there with very little upkeep and maintenance and bring a benefit to our community.
Thank you very much. Next question up, and this is for the candidates this evening. How are you going to work on behalf of persons who have disabilities, and I guess and as well hold those people accountable or other people accountable to help them? Let's start out with this question from Reagan Hatcher, please.
Oh, yes. Well, the city of Gary a few years ago had to make buildings and areas city-owned property ADA compliant. We went through that process. We made sure that all of the government buildings are ADA compliant. We are facing some issues at the Miller train stop with that. I think that is a NCTE issue that we have to work with NCTE to have them to update and upgrade that facility so we can have wheelchairs on that ramp up to the train. But beyond that, one of the things that after being out and speaking with a number of senior citizens, there's no sidewalks on 12 and 20. And so when the senior citizens leave the senior building there on 20, they can't walk to the neighborhood store. They can't walk to the gas station. Even if they are not in a wheelchair, they just don't feel safe walking on the street. So sidewalks in Miller is a real issue. That is a state road. And so I'm taking that up as one of my issues.
Right. Jessica?
Sure. So our buildings, a lot of our government buildings aren't actually ADA compliant. It's a big issue in Gary, including, unfortunately, City Hall, which has a giant pothole in the ramp still there. So as a person with a disability, I advocate for this at all levels. I have a non-visible disability right now, so I'm often the secret shopper people don't see coming. I happen to have a form of muscular dystrophy. It's pretty much in check, and I'm very lucky and blessed with that right now. However, things like 12 and 20, which should have had a sidewalk put in there, that was a question I asked at the state level disability summit this year with NDOT. Why did that not happen? For instance, Broadway and Grant, those are both highways. Those are state highways. Why are the sidewalks not being done there? Is that really on the city or is that really on the state? How can we make that work? When we have to retrofit a building, it's so expensive. It would be much easier to go from, when it's a new project, go from the planning stages on up. What they did on Shelby and Locust, very pretty. However, it's less compliant. That's a problem. That doesn't happen in a lot of other communities. Contractors are doing that here in Gary because they think they can get away with it, and they have been. That's on us advocating for that not to happen. So, actually, a lot of our city employees have been very good about coming to us with plans, and we're trying to work with them when they do redo Lake Street. And so that's why we started VocArt. VocArt is a volunteer group that's actually working on this, and they are seeking people to answer phones on Mondays. Contact Zulie Alvarado for that.
Thank you very much, Jessica. Our next question from the audience this evening here asks candidates their positions on medical marijuana and about the disproportionate impact of felony arrests in many communities. Jessica?
Sure. I just moved back from California. They have had medical marijuana for several years. Veterans are endorsing it. They think it's better than opiates. I would have to probably agree it's not as addictive, at least the studies show. We also have a lot of land in House District 3. I met with the Farmers Bureau to talk about opportunities for urban farming. I think we do have potential here for that, whether it's hemp production or actual medical marijuana. Just doing it right, doing it legally, having it actually regulated appropriately, and also training folks if it is going to be an income generator, training locals to actually be able to use it and not just have us get colonized and not be able to benefit from something like this.
Thank you very much. Regan?
Yes, I've had an opportunity to speak with a number of the local doctors here in Northwest Indiana, and most doctors are pro-medical marijuana. The House did take the first step by passing the legalization of hash oil this session, and so I think that medical marijuana is probably the next logical step to take. I'm not sure if we're going to get to where California is or Colorado is, but in Indiana, we usually come up at the end of the list of states that pass things that are progressive like medical marijuana, but I think that it's the next logical step after the passage of the hash oil this session.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Our next question here to the candidates is from an audience member asking, with the Me Too movement and others promoting equal pay, equal pay for women, what is your stand on the issues? We start first with Ms. Hatcher.
Thank you. When I was at Valparaiso, graduating with my economics degree, my thesis was on the wage gap between men and women. At that time, it was 72 cents to every dollar. Now, it's 68 cents to every dollar. So we're clearly going in the wrong direction. Of course, I'm an advocate for that. I like to see, especially in government settings, the wages equalized and not based on length of time worked or except for normal nominal wage increases and raises, but I like to see the wages normalized between the sexes.
All right, Jessica?
Sure. So Indiana is a right-to-work state, which is kind of ironic verbiage for that. A problem here right now is we have some awesome male advocates and allies who would love to tell us their salaries. Legally, if they do that, they can get fired right now. That's a problem in Indiana. In Indiana, women average about 74 cents to the dollar, depending. In House District 3, at 51%, our most common head of household is a single mom. That's not counting married women. That's not counting single women working. This is not a gender issue. This is not a partisan issue. When you consider what this is doing to our economy, these women can't go out and buy local. They can barely make it. This is a problem. I promised everyone downstate when I went there in January to advocate for equal pay yet again. This bill was first introduced by Linda Lawson when I was 17 years old. Now at 37 years old, I'm still going down and advocating for this bill. I will do it until it gets passed. I promised everyone that this year.
All right. Next question that we have is to both candidates here. I'm sorry, I didn't give, Reagan, did you have a chance to respond? Okay, I want to be sure I lose track here. The question to both candidates here from the audience is, would you vote to overturn the so-called right-to-work law? And you may have referred in some reference before in a previous question, but if you'd like to state it more directly, please. Jessica, please.
Yes, absolutely. I would do that. As a person who is an independent contractor, it's ridiculous. And when you see what it's done with our unions and people being able to negotiate for a living wage, I would definitely be willing to oppose it.
Okay. Thank you. Absolutely. The answer is yes. First of all, I have the honor of being endorsed by the United Steelworkers, the Fire Union in the city of Gary, and I've had an opportunity to speak with them regarding the right to work law. We all want to see it overturned, especially because of the workers for the city of Gary, the civil workers, not necessarily the police and fire, but civil workers. We all need those protections. So absolutely, I would work to overturn the right to work law.
Thank you very much.
And they do need to change the name.
Okay. Next question here from the audience, member saying, "You're both strong, committed women. Why should I support you over your opponent?" And let's start, Jessica, with you.
Well, I think it's a wonderful time in House District 3 that we have two strong female candidates. I think that's great. We're about the same age. It's awesome. Working for the General Assembly, having already done that myself, I have seen the amount of commitment it takes, the time and the energy, and I know I can do that. I walk the walk. I'm here to work. Simple things like if you say you are pro-union and endorsed by the union, you buy union signs. You know I will do that. If you support local businesses, you go to First Friday every First Friday and you buy something, you promote it. So I'm the person that will do that. I will advocate for it. I will go to school board meetings even though I don't have children. I will go to, I will bicycle in the snow even though I don't like biking. Like, that's a bad secret, but yeah. So I'm that girl and I will do that. I'm not an athlete, I'll bike in the snow. I will go down and spend my own money to advocate for you and drive my own car. That is the person I am, and that's what I will do for you.
Reagan?
Thank you. I just like to start out by saying that Gary has been my home for the last 39 years. I stay here because I choose to and because I know what it felt like to grow up here, and I want my children to have that same experience. But talking about qualifications, I did not just work for a legislative body. I have been part of the legislative body. I have created legislation. I have advocated for legislation. I have passed legislation. As an attorney, I have written policy manuals for governmental entities. It's what everything that I've done to this point has led me to this place. And I think that at this point, I am the best candidate for the position. And I think that in Indianapolis, I will have success in bridging some gaps between the Republicans and the Democrats.
We'll have an opportunity here for a couple minutes for closing comments here before long. Let's get the final question off to you both. The question is, on what issues, do the two candidates differ? And Jessica, let's start with you, please.
On what issues do we differ?
Yes.
The only one that I know of on record probably is House Bill 1144. I did go down and advocate for us to get a train station. I did think that was important to our economic development. I do think we need to look at that bill and make sure that gentrification does not happen in Aetna. I know people think that's a wild concept when I say it now, but I've lived in a TOD before. I saw what it did for North Hollywood and what it did to North Hollywood. And there's a lot of awesome potential, but we have to also do safeguards for our small businesses and our mom and pops who've stayed here and weathered the storm and all that's gone through little towns like ours. So I think that might be the only thing we differ on. I think we're both pretty progressive candidates.
Reagan?
We don't actually differ on 1044, initially, and that's the double tracking legislation. I actually supported it on the council initially. However, because of our financial situation, I did agree with the council that we had to reduce the amount that we could contribute to the project. I think that's just being fiscally responsible. I'm not sure about differing, but some of the other things that would be part of my legislative agenda is to attack the sentencing guidelines in Indiana. They are very unfair in urban areas. Secondly, educational equality to make sure that charter schools and public schools get the same funding, have the same requirements, the same teacher qualifications. Third, I would like to see universal preschool happen in the state of Indiana. Right now, Gary has a small program where we can only take so many children. And finally, I like to work with the retired and our aging population to make sure that what's going on with the Indiana Retirement Administration does not affect them.
Thank you very much, Regan. This time we have left is for closing comments here. Let's first hear from Jessica Renslow.
Sure. So we have a lot going on. We have a lot of potential. We have a lot of positives happening here in House District 3. And I want to speak to that potential, the idea of having a new perspective down there. I'm that person. I'm here to work for you and with you. And the thing is the General Assembly has a lot of lawyers. You actually get a whole legal team. Now, I have worked in a variety of law capacities, both in English and Japanese. I understand law. I know how to read it. What you need down there is a subject matter expert. I am the only one here with a master's in education. I can pick apart that in a way that someone who hasn't done that level. Being an adjunct professor is wonderful, but actually doing curriculum for someone who is in pre-K, doing something for kindergarten, having to do it all the way up to adult, that's what I know how to do. Along with that, I also bring a perspective for transportation, infrastructure, the environment, vocational. I'm that person, and that's why you should vote for me, because I'm here to work for you and show up.
All right. Hear now from Regan Hatcher.
Thank you. Well, and education is definitely one of the many issues that need work in Indianapolis. However, there are so many more. There's the budget that the legislature is must pass every year. There's a number of funding issues and criminal code issues that have to be attacked in Indianapolis. As I said on the city council, I did a number of things to help our community, not just fight against GEO and make sure that I was one of those voices that voted against GEO, but MIACO, the fire department strike, set on budget committees, created budgets, justified budgets. We were the only budget committee in 2016 that required that every department come in and justify their budget. It wasn't going to be a rubber stamp. So as I sat on the council, I was able to sit in the capacity that I would sit in Indianapolis. The work that I did there absolutely speaks for itself. One of the biggest things that I was able to get done this term on the council was get our residency requirement passed to make sure that every person who cashed a city paycheck had to live in the city of Gary. That's good for all of us, because those taxes come back into the community. And those people who have been required to move in actually enjoy living here, as I knew they would. So I just ask everyone here to look at the qualifications, look at my record. I stand on it. I'm very proud of it. And I ask for your support on May 8th.
Regan Hatcher and Jessica Renslow, the two candidates in the Democratic Party primary election for Indiana House District 3 seat that is up in this upcoming election, too. Ladies, thank you very much for being with us this evening for this candidates forum. And our audience members here at Temple Israel, give yourselves a hand for being great audience members and question offerers as well, too. And thank you very much for listening. We'll have a rebroadcast of the event here on lakeshorepublicradio.org. And thank you all for listening this evening to this program here on Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM.